Hi, Rachel. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the UK Run Chat podcast. Would you like to just give our listeners a brief introduction to yourself for those who haven't seen you on our, you've hosted a few UK Run Chat hours for us, haven't you? But just tell our listeners about yourself.
Yes, thank you. Well, thank you very much for having me, actually. So I'm Rachel Miller. I live in Norfolk and I've been a runner since I was about 17 years old. Member of Norwich Road Runners, swimmer and triathlete as well. I like to get involved. I've hosted some of the Sunday UK Run Chat hours, which is always good fun. It's always absolutely frenetic and mad, but it's so good. You actually feel like you want to go out for a run after hosting one. Yeah. Because it really puts your kind of adrenaline levels up, because you just replied to so many, and it's just so nice. It's such a good way to meet people and just talk about running for an hour, which is all we really want to do.
Yeah, we could talk for a lot longer than an hour, I suspect. Definitely. As well, couldn't we?
Definitely, yeah, I could.
Yes, so tell us a bit about how you got into running then. So 17 you were. How did it happen?
Yeah, well, I ran at school. I did cross country at school. And I loved it. So, you hear a lot of people who say they did cross country at school and they hated it, or, three people that are non-runners or hated doing it. I loved it, always loved it. So I always did that. And me and my sister were swimmers as well. We swam for Norwich Swans, so we swam competitively. So we were, and I'd done gymnastics and dance as well. So my parents had kept us quite active when we were younger anyway. And then one day, it was mid-80s, my dad just appeared in the lounge and said, "By the way, I'm taking up road running." And we all looked at him like he had three heads, and we were like, "You don't be ridiculous. What are you talking about?" Sat us all down, what's going on? We thought it was something really serious. He decided to take up running. And he was about 55. And he always said that one of the main reasons was that he just couldn't keep up with me and my sister. If we were on the beach or out and about and we were running about, he found he was out of breath and felt really unfit. And he took up running. He was out running one day. He saw a load of group of runners, found out they were the Norwich Road Runners, and joined up. And then the rest, as they say, is history. And that kind of spread through the family. So back in the 80s, with most of the run, or a lot of the runs anyway, there used to be fun runs. So they'd have like a 3 mile, 2 mile fun run for the kids to do, or any, parents as well, I guess. So me and my sister used to do all of those. Used to love doing those fun runs at various races. And then my mum, she got fed up. Literally, she said this the other day in her own words, she got fed up with holding the coats and watching and decided she was going to join in as well. So we became a family of runners, and all thanks to my dad. That's where it all started. And then gradually, I think as I then got a bit older and I was sort of at the age where you could do road races, I joined the Norwich Road Runners as well. I guess I was 16, 17, something like that. Long time ago now. I did my first half marathon in 1993. I found like the little memento from that race. I've got that somewhere, and it's 1993. So I was 19 when I did that. So fast forward, nearly 50 this year. Well, I am 50 this year. So it's been a long time. You don't realise how the years go past, and you think, have I been running for all that time?
Yeah, that's an incredible achievement though, isn't it? Like, a lot of people will kind of not be that consistent throughout their whole life. That's a great thing to be doing.
To be fair, I have dipped in and out of it. I've always ran. So I've always, I wasn't a member of the club for quite a few years. Just doing other things, but I still ran and I still swam, but just at a sort of like a lower level. I'd just go out for like a little few mile jog, but I always carried on doing a little bit here and there. And then it was 2014. I had a big upheaval in my life. It was one of those years, and for me, and best thing to do, get back to the club, because as anyone knows who's a member of a club, it's a great community. A lot of people join the club to get them through hard times and all sorts of things. So I got back to the club, and here I've been ever since.
Yeah, oh, lovely. So tell us a bit about the club then, because we've had many people on recently who are club runners, actually. Tell us a bit about what goes on there.
Well, Norwich Roadrunners is one of the biggest clubs in Norwich. There's loads of clubs. Throughout the pandemic and through the pandemic, we actually got a bit smaller again. Just before the pandemic, 2019, we were really big. I've been on the committee, social committee and the committee, and I'm one of the, I'm a surf coach as well. So I'm a coach in running fitness. So I help out at the club, always have done. It's a great community. We have all sorts of people there. We have, you know, people that just starting on their running journeys, who just want to find out about running. They come along. We've got beginners night. We do effort speed sessions, and then we have another night where it's just a medium or long run, and it's for everyone gets involved. We have all sorts of events, trips to races, host our own races, and it's great fun.
So what kind of races do you get involved in with the club then? Do you do cross country and things like that?
Yeah, we do. We have a local cross country series, East Anglian Cross Country League, which is most clubs pay for the members to be part of that, and that's sort of held every Wednesday afternoon. I do that sometimes when I can get the time off work. We have like the Norfolk Cross Country Championships, so we all go off to that. We have other various things, or we put on our own 5K race, Wroxham 5K, which is very one of the it's a fairly fast course, so it's a big field, and it's a field of quite fast runners, so it's always quite exciting. So always getting involved with helping to marshal and just putting a race on obviously takes a lot.
Yeah, it does. So tell us a bit about, because you've just done, at the time of recording, you've just done the London Marathon, haven't you?
So
take us back, before we get onto that, just take us back to how you got into marathon distance and how long you've been running marathons for.
I did my first marathon actually in 2014, just before I rejoined the club. My mum and dad, they have both did the London Marathon. Dad did it 3 times. Mum's done it twice. And me and my sister used to sit there. We'd go and see them off on the coach. There'd be a club coach to London. We'd go and see them off on the coach. It was so exciting. And then we'd go and try and watch the TV and try and spot them on the TV. And so that's how we grew up. We grew up watching our parents go off and do the London Marathon. And you'd sort of thought, God, I wonder if I can do that one day. Will I be able to do that? Well, it was just a dream. So back in 2014, I was lucky enough to get a ballot place. That was when they capped it a certain amount of numbers. So the ballot in 2014 was still hard to get into, but a little bit obviously easier than it is now. And I did that one to enjoy it, get round. It was a fairly warm one. I had sunburn at the end of it, but I loved it, even the painful bits. And as I came round Buckingham Palace into the Mall, I was just like, I just want to do it all over again. Fast forward 9 years to last year, I hadn't done another marathon. There were various reasons for that. I had developed I have rheumatoid arthritis, and I'd had a problem with a very swollen knee for 2 or 3 years. I didn't run for a year. Everyone out there is probably gasping, going, how did you? It was fine. I volunteered at Parkrun and I helped with the club and stuff. So I didn't run for a year. Finally, touched wood, got that under control. And then I was entering the ballot every year. And I guess at the time I was doing shorter runs because I just wanted to ease in, didn't know how my knee was going to be. And I just wanted to do what I knew was possible and just gradually build it up. So whilst I was going in the ballot, I was sort of thinking, I do want to get in, but and then 2023, I got another ballot place. I was like, I remember I'd been, I was out walking. I'd been looking after my sister's dogs, and I was out walking around where she lives in Norfolk in Reedham, and I just opened up my emails on my phone. I was just standing there by the river, like, absolute shock, like I looking around for someone to tell. So yeah, I actually, that was the first marathon I feel like I really trained for, like with a proper training plan, and really trained harder than I did the first time I wasn't with the club again. Yeah, and that was, again, I absolutely loved that again last year. It was brilliant to be back, and I was just on a high the whole way round. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people out listening there have done marathons or done the London, and you just forget the noise. It's just absolutely, I feel emotional just thinking about it. You know, it's one of the things which is just, until you've done it, you just can't comprehend how loud all of those wonderful supporters are on that course, and just screaming your name. Like, you make eye contact with some of them and they're just going, come on, go for it. And for that instant second, you are your friends, you're at one, because they genuinely mean it. They mean every single word that they're shouting and screaming, and you feel that kind of that energy and that love. It's just the most amazing thing. And I was lucky enough to get my good for age last year. Well,
wow.
I was lucky enough to get under the time, but of course then you have the nervous wait to see how under, you know, if you've got enough minutes under the time to actually get a place. And I did. So so this year I ran my good for age place.
That's fantastic.
And even though it was a year apart, you go around and you share that they're louder, that all the supporters and the crowds are louder. There was one bit which was just a absolute, I remember it was in the latter stages, and it was, I think it was going through one of the tunnels, and it was just like you were at some sort of concert that was screaming, and the noise just literally took my breath away. And it was just, and it just brought, they brought tears to my eyes numerous times. Just, yeah. So it was a special one this year, as I ran it for my dad. We lost my dad last year because he developed lymphoma. Lymphoma cancer. So over the course of last year, that was, we were all going through that. I was very pleased that he saw me run last year's marathon, because I managed to beat his PB finally.
Oh, really? Okay. I bet that was a proud moment for both of you, actually. Yeah.
Well, he's always said to everyone about, he's always said they can't, me and my sister, they can't beat my times, they can't beat my PBs. And for a long time, we hadn't beaten some of his PBs, because even though he did 4 hours, 3 minutes, and he must have done that when he was in his early to mid 60s.
Yeah, so, wow, that's
he was doing all right. And I managed to tell him that I was doing it again, and I was doing it for him. So I raised money for Lymphoma Action. I had a ballot placed, but I still raised money for Lymphoma Action, who were very helpful to all of us when we were going through that. And it was a very special and emotional race. The London Marathon is special to us as a family anyway, but that was very special.
Yeah, I've got goosebumps while you're talking about your dad. Yeah, it's obviously a really special race for all of you, actually. I mean, did your dad kind of share his favourite moments of the race with you? Was that kind of what was going through your head as you were running?
He when he ran it, when they used to go out around Docklands, that was a very different, because he did it, they kind of did it 89-90, and then dad also did it in about 95-96, I think, something like that. So that area was really different back then. It wasn't developed like it is now, and it was probably a bit of a poorer area, I don't know. But he used to, because he used to get the jelly babies and the sweets from the kids and everything, and they just kind of wanted to shake his hand or whatever. And so because he was so overwhelmed at being given sweets from these little kids in this, which would have looked like probably quite a rougher area than it is now anyway, I don't know, it would have been very different. One year he went back, he took presents for any kids that were out there. He took like little pens and he carried them around and he gave these kids little pens because they were there supporting him and giving out sweets. And he decided to take them some presents.
That is so nice. What's going through his head to think that he's carrying these pens with him on a marathon?
They might have just been little pens, but yeah, he took pens around the London Marathon, gave them out around the Docklands area.
No, that's a lovely story. Yeah, because I guess nowadays it's so different, because my memories of running through that area, that it's just so echoey and it's just big and loud, isn't it? And all the support noise seems to just echo off the skyscrapers.
It does. It's a great piece of the course, and the support is so good there now. But it's also strange because you're in that kind of zone where it's starting to get into the realms of hardness. I mean, it could be, you know, obviously different people have different races, but you're kind of hitting the 18 miles, you've got 19, 20, you're coming out of there and it's starting to be like, and you're trying to get that out of your head. You're trying to kind of get that, I've still got 8 miles to go, whatever it is to go, and your legs might be starting to, your mind's playing tricks on you, your legs are starting to hurt. Yeah, I remember I had a goal to get through there and get to 22, because after 22 miles, I see my club, that's where they are. So they're at the halfway and 22, so you see them twice. So I had a goal to get to 22, then get to 24, and then you're nearly home. So whatever's happening then, you can deal with it, hopefully.
There's not too long to go, is there?
No. So, it was, I feel like, and it's quite strange because I didn't feel like this last year, but having done a third marathon, and I feel like I'm only still learning about the marathon distance. It's a strange thing. I've done, you know, so many 5Ks, 10Ks, halves, etc. But the marathon is, for me anyway, it's such a different beast, and that you learn so much about your running, yourself, your mind, your body, over that 26.2, 26.5, 26.7, whatever you get, miles. And I know I've changed a few things this time from last time. You look at your race and you think, because last time when I was coming up to 22, I started to have cramp threatening. I didn't get cramp, but it was starting to twinge. And I knew if I pushed with that leg, I was going to have cramp, and I didn't want that. So I just had to slow down a little bit, not much, but you couldn't kind of then try and eke out whatever you could. You had to just watch the leg. I really didn't want to stop. So this year I changed my fueling strategy. I took gels at every 4 miles. I'd 4, 8, 12, 16. Then I went to 19 because I was starting to feel like I needed more energy. And then I think I did 22 and a half, something like that. And I did have one cup of Lucozade Sport as well. But yeah, I had more gels this year. Whether it was just a fluke, whatever it was, but I didn't have the cramp threatening. I drank more early on as well. And I think taking the gels early on, that all helped. I was going to try and take salt tablets, but I didn't. The one time I trained with them, I think it was the particular day, to be honest. I think I tried to get out too early. I'd eaten breakfast and hadn't digested it enough. And I had these salt tablets and I felt so sick for a very long run. And that's not very nice. So I hadn't tested them enough. So I forgot about the salt tablets and just went with the gels. So some that seemed to definitely work. I had definitely had felt like I had a little bit more at the end in me than I did last year.
Yeah. How did your pacing change on the day as well? What else? Did you change anything else?
In my training, I did more strength work. So, I did a little bit more strength work and I did more cycling. So I still swim. I always swim because it just seems to relax everything completely. But I added more cycling in the gym over the winter. The combination of the extra weights and core work as well. And that I think that really, I definitely felt stronger. I'm going to do more of that for next marathon. I'll do more of that, definitely. And I did also in my training, I did 5 days a week this time. Last year, I started on 5 days. I did it for about, I get a training plan from one of our other coaches at the club, Richard, who was a 226 or 227 marathoner. So he's got pretty good form from the past. So I have a training plan from him. And last year I tried to do 5 days, and because I hadn't been doing much distance and doing much, I came out of the pandemic, my running was really, really low. I hadn't done much mileage at all. That all took a hit during the pandemic. So I'd emerged from that and hadn't done a half marathon since 2019. So then I tried to step it up to 5 days a week and I just got so fatigued. So I cut it back down. But this year I tried the 5 times and stuck with it. And it was obviously tiring. I was exhausted, but I was okay with it. It was that level of tiredness that is kind of normal in a way. So there was quite a few things that I changed and which I'd stick with again. And I'm also very proud of that I hit my first ever 50-mile week.
Oh, wow.
I only did one of them and I was broken. I was absolutely broken. I was like, I don't know how the pros go. I just don't know how they, I mean, sometimes they're not, some of them aren't working. Some are.
Yeah.
Some are still though. You know, just because some of them are pros doesn't mean some of them don't have to work. Some don't. But yeah. 50 miles was, wow. That was hard.
So how far out from the marathon was that? Was that about?
Oh, my goodness. That wasn't, I'm not sure if that was one of my weeks with the 18 or 20 milers in. It must have been, but it was quite a way out. It's kind of just after midway, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was we'd really built up. So it was getting towards the later stages, but not in the last wasn't definitely on the last month, I mean, two thirds of the way through, perhaps.
Yeah. How long was your training cycle for this marathon then, out of interest?
I did 16 weeks.
Yeah. Okay.
Which started exactly on the 1st of January.
And what kind of sessions were you including as well as your strength and your cycling? What kind of running sessions were you doing?
Oh, yeah. So I'd had, well, it was all the same sort of stuff, but just done in a different way. So I had effort sessions, all sorts of different types of effort sessions. And then on the Wednesday run was, let me think, the Wednesday run was usually a kind of medium distance sort of, it went up. So 60 minutes easy, 70 minutes easy, 80 minutes easy. So that was kind of an easy stretch out. I think I got up to about 9 to 10 miles on a Wednesday run, mm-hmm. easy.
Yeah.
And then Thursday was kind of not efforts, but some of the sessions were broken up. Like I remember last year I did a lot of, my coach had me doing, I think it was to make the sessions a bit more interesting as well.
Yeah,
so they,
yeah.
I guess they were more tempo perhaps. So I was doing like 3 times 10 minutes, then I started on 3 times 8 or four times, and then I do 4 times 10, 4 times 12, and I think 4 times 15. Don't know if we got up to 20 minutes, but it was those sort of sessions where you could break it up a bit. So instead of just going out for another I don't know, 10-mile run or 8-mile run or something, you just break it up a bit. So you could add a bit of tempo into it as well.
Yeah. So this is a kind of a slightly uncomfortable pace where you're just pushing a little bit.
A little bit, yes. Yeah. And then I always said to Richard, my coach, every Saturday is park run, and I will usually be going for it, as I do every week at park run. And latterly, there were some weeks where it was like, no, let's just take it easy this week. But he did on some of the hard weeks, and before a long run, he had them, and it said park run in capital letters, fast.
Yeah.
And then on the Sunday, it's great. It works because you were running on really tired legs for your longer run. It was, and that was a change actually, because I didn't do quite as many fast park runs last year before I then went out on the Sunday. That definitely strengthened my
legs. Yeah, that will have helped, won't it? Yeah, doing all those long runs on tired legs, definitely.
Yeah.
What did your long runs look like? Did you do more of those this time? Did you go further?
So I was. My longest one was going to be 23. Last year it was 22. I ended up doing 23 because my watch went askew at the beginning. So, and this year I was definitely had 23 in, and it was one of those days. We all have those days as runners where it just all went absolutely out the window. It was cold, it was freezing, and it was windy. It had a really cold, I think this is the windiest training block I've ever done. It just never stopped. It was just constant wind, cold, constant headwind. And I'd gone out to do this 23. I usually run, if it's cold wind, I run in this gilet, which just keeps the wind off my tummy, because that can really impact on me. So for some reason I thought, well, I've been getting a bit too warm, I'm going to leave that today, thinking it wasn't that windy. No, it was very windy. So it was about 16 miles. I got a terrible chill, had to divert into a nearby supermarket to use their facilities. Thank goodness it was very close. And then I came out of there thinking, I feel rough. It was a couple of miles home. Should I just go home? I thought, no, just jog a bit, see how you feel. Wasn't feeling great, I have to say, but I was okay, and I carried on to 21.7. I was going to try and get to 22, and I just thought there's no point in making myself feel ill or even more fatigued at this stage, because it was getting late, obviously, in the latter stages of training. But that was just one of those hideous days where it was just like, though. I think it was like you're almost like where marathon training breaks you down and you're out and you're just like, I just want to go home. And you think, you really do question your life choices on days like that, and you're thinking, okay, so why am I doing this again?
I think that's the thing with training for London, isn't it? Is that any spring marathon, you're training all through those dark winter months, and it's great for keeping us motivated, but you do question your hobbies, don't you?
Yeah, definitely in marathon training for a spring marathon. I don't know how I'd feel about doing an autumn marathon and having to train, you know, through the later stages of summer. I don't know how, I mean, it would be okay. I'm not sure whether I'd feel it was too warm in a way. I know people say that they do like those, because then when the weather cools down for your marathon, that's when your form comes. That's when it all comes together. But I imagine I'll try it one day. I think if I get into, I can't remember which some of the, is it Berlin? Is later in the year,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's September, isn't it, Berlin?
That's September. Yeah. That's still quite early.
Yes. It can be hot there, can't it, still, in September?
Yeah, some friends are doing the Amsterdam Marathon, which I think is October. And I've done the Amsterdam half back in 2015. And the temperature was fine for that. So,
Yeah, I think you never quite know with September, do you, though?
No.
So talk us through how it went at London then. So we've heard about your training. Yes. You've not told us how you got on.
Oh, no, no. Oh, well, I mean, it was The weather was pretty much spot on. However, there was a very cold wind. I was on Blue Star at Blackheath and went up there with my friend and got there and I was like, oh, this is cold. If I get through this without getting a chill, it's going to be a miracle. However, once we got ourselves sorted and once we got into the start pens and you've got that energy and excitement and all the other body heat around you, it was okay. I felt it was a nice temperature for running in the end. The wind wasn't really an impact around the course. You didn't really have a headwind. You got the odd gust here and there and you turned a corner, but nothing that really kind of worried you or, you know, made a difference. So I stuck to my plan and started off steady and slower than the pace, your goal pace, because it feels weird because you've tapered, you've got all this energy and it's the start of a marathon and it's exciting and your legs feel fresh and you just want to go flying off at 5K pace. It's yeah. Really, you have to hold yourself back so much that you feel you're going, you're like, this is, I'm going way slower, but you're not. But I set off and I kept it steady and just let the miles tick off, and I was kind of aiming for 5K, aiming for Cutty Sark obviously, yeah. And then I was thinking, right, now just tick it over and get to Tara Bridge. I was feeling good. I was feeling a little more sluggish than I did last year. So I wasn't too sure how I was going to do because of everything. I trained just after we lost Dad, so that the marathon training block this time was really hard. My mum's okay now, but she was very seriously ill 2 weeks after we lost Dad. So that she was in hospital. So all through my training, and it got, to be honest, the running obviously got me through all that. It was great. Got me through everything, really helped me over that really difficult period with Dad and then Mum getting ill as well. So I felt a little bit sluggish. And I just thought, look, just enjoy it. If you get the time you want, it's fine. If not, you've done the London Marathon again, you just want to finish it and get round. And as I was going along, I was just keeping it steady. I was looking at my watch. I was trying not to look at it too much because I didn't want to start fixating on it if it went slower or if I was. And I think I looked at it a couple of times and it seemed to be very similar. Every time I looked at it, it seemed to say 8:35 and 8:35 pace. And I was like, okay, well, and there was like the odd 8:20 in there, not, you know. So I just thought I'd just keep ticking along like this. I had a couple of miles where I dipped to 8:50s. There was a couple of times where it was just one of those, and we all go through it, I think, you'll suddenly feel dreadful. You just suddenly feel like, oh, no, this is it. It's happening. It's all going to go wrong. And I just felt really sick for about a mile. Not badly sick, but just like, whoa, didn't feel good. But then it went off and I picked it up again. Got to like 22. I was still feeling okay. Saw my club, which was a great boost, huge boost at 22 miles. And I carried on, and because in my mind it was, this is the point last year where I started to feel my leg twinge. Didn't happen. I was waiting for it. It didn't happen. It's quite funny because I'd always said that if I get to that stage in a marathon again and I'm not getting cramp, I'm going to give it everything I've got, the yeah. full send, all of that. It doesn't work like that. I could keep my pace steady though. I didn't have to dip back, but it's not like the end of a 10K or the end of something like that where you can really just like, really stretch out and you are in a way you still are because it's a marathon, but anyway I kept going and I was coming on Birdcage Walk and as we were coming round into the mall and I managed to pick it up. It wasn't like a sprint but it was, I was like, because what I was finishing on last year, I looked at my watch, it was coming down. I was like, what? So I just like, yeah, and just brought it home. And I got a 3.5 minute PB, which I was like, as I was coming along Birdcage, I knew I was going to get a good PB because I could see the time. And I was like, well, even if I walked from here, I'm going to be all right. I was like completely shocked because I didn't think I was going to do anything that day. You know, I was doing the marathon. It was amazing, but I didn't think I was going to do a time, as we all talk about. And then when I got the London Marathon app up and I looked at my splits, I mean, I'm still in absolute shock because I was completely even. I had 3 miles, which were all 8:33, 8:33, 8:33. And they were all around, and, you know, the average pace, which was shown on the app, it was like every sort of, it was like changed by like a second going down. And I finished on the same pace that I started with. And I was just like, I have no idea how that happened. I just kept it steady. And it was just, I've got some friends that I follow who do a lot of marathons. And there's one particular person and I follow her splits. And I've spoken to her and said, how have you got your pace so even? Because she's like, boom, 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 completely even all the way through and finishing strong. And I honestly have no idea how. I'm still thinking about it and I'm still like walking around going, did I do that? So it was just the most wonderful day. It was, yeah, it was obviously painful, but it was, yeah, and I can't wait to do another marathon.
So you completely kind of, You obviously paced that perfectly and you got a lot right. You said at the start that you're still learning. So what would you change next time, if anything?
I want to be a little bit braver because I think I can. If you look at my other PBs or my other current pace for other races, I should be capable of going a little bit faster than that still. So I just want to be a little bit braver with it because I do feel like I do really hold myself back. So I do feel like I can definitely be a bit braver with it. And I think that means being braver in training as well. And focusing more on next time on kind of my goal pace, focusing on my goal pace a bit more in this training block. I was in a way, and I knew whereabouts I wanted to be, but I wasn't, because of everything going on as well with my parents, I wasn't really focused on that particular goal pace or seeing if I could just do a lot of the training slightly above goal pace. So then goal pace feels a bit easier perhaps, and seeing what I can do. So another time, if I then start thinking about, oh, actually I am going to, you know, try for this particular time and try and knock a few more minutes off, I definitely do that differently and then add in more strength and conditioning. And keep my fueling strategy. That seemed to work. Yeah,
that's obviously working for you, isn't it? What kind of strength work do you do then? Are you lifting heavy weights? Is it more kind of core work?
It's a lot of, I've done a lot of core work. The leg, I don't know what to call them. I don't know the sort of technical name, but the leg machines at the gym. I've never been a really regular gym user. I used to be a long time ago, but I've never really used all the equipment a lot. So it's the ones where you'll sit back in the chair and you'll push your legs up. So you're pushing the weights away, which really works, you know, all the top of your legs. And I really found that made, when I first started using that, and I was building that up, even before I was marathon training, I noticed a difference in my running, huge difference in my running. And with the cycling as well, I had a little twinge in my calf. It wasn't much, it wasn't an injury, but it was just a little bit of a pull in my calf early on. And there was a couple of weeks where I just had to completely lay off the running, really brought it right down. I've learned my lesson the hard way with injuries. So, and then I got on the bike and I'd hardly done any running for a couple of weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And I'd been going for it on the bike, started running again, went to parkrun and just like absolutely blasted it round. And so the cycling I know helps me. So I'm a big cross trainer, mainly because of my swimming background and I've always swam, but I'm a big cross trainer. I personally have to do something else other than just running to give my legs a break. And especially as I've got older, I find I need more rest, but the rest can be cross training as well. So I'm giving my running legs a rest by getting in the pool, and the cycling helps as well. I mean, I like to do triathlons anyway when I can, but all of that cross training just helps me so much. I'm always trying to encourage my other running friends to cross train.
Yeah, it does help, doesn't it? So are you doing something every day then, or do you ever kind of take a complete rest day as well?
Yeah, when I am training, yeah, I on Mondays is swimming day, so I don't run on a Monday. And then, well, in marathon training anyway, I was running Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then do nothing on Friday. Absolutely nothing. I'm usually exhausted by Friday anyway for the whole week, working week. And then it gives you a chance to just kind of prepare to enjoy parkrun, have a blast at parkrun, and then be ready for the Sunday run. So, yeah, I do. In this block, it was 5 days a week. When I'm training normally, I guess I do about 4 days a week, but then I'll still swim and cycle on other days as well.
Yeah. So are you doubling up sessions? So you're kind of doing your gym on running days as well then? Is that how you tend to work?
I was struggling. It was hard. It was, to be honest, hard to fit in the gym. I was going for a cycle kind of on a Saturday afternoon. I did do that. And that kind of did give me it gave me the fatigued legs on a Sunday. And just trying to fit it in really during the week when I can. Swimming I find easier to fit in. The gym was more of a challenge, which I'd think more carefully about next time. But it is really hard to fit it in, especially when you're marathon training, because it does take over everything.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Kind of life kind of gets in the way of our training sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it can do sometimes.
Yeah, it's not that I don't think it's that marathon training is onerous as such. It's just that we still need to do all the other stuff as well.
Unfortunately, we still need to do whatever isn't my job. I wish it was, but there's still other stuff you need to do.
So you'll obviously be applying, or have you applied already for a Good for Age place for London next year?
Yes, I will be once that's open. And I go up an age group, so I get a few more minutes. So I'm a bit lucky this year.
Well, not that you need them now, but you've got a bit more of a buffer, I guess, haven't you?
I have, yes. Yeah. And I've also got a fairly big buffer for Boston, so I'm hoping to try for Boston. So
that would be exciting.
That's one of my, I love the city of Boston, and it's a just absolute dream to go and do the Boston Marathon, as it is for a lot of people. But I've been to Boston twice. I just absolutely love to do that. So
yeah,
we'll see.
I did
try this year, but I only had a minute and a half, which wasn't enough.
Yes, you got a bit more now, haven't you?
I've got a bit more now, yes.
Have you got your eyes on the other majors or just Boston?
Well, I never thought I would. However, I have to admit, actually, this week, just a couple of days ago, I couldn't sleep and I decided to look up all the qualifying times. And I was like, Chicago. I was like, well, I could get in Chicago. That's not too bad. And I think then Berlin was a bit harder. I mean, it wasn't too bad. I can't remember what Berlin was. And then I think you get, obviously, Tokyo, I think, is the hardest. New York's pretty hard as well. There was a couple of other qualifying times which I could do. I think the New York one, I think there's one of them which were taking half marathon times. But I think that's changing, apparently. I think a friend said it's changing. So the half marathon time I would have been okay on, but the marathon time, that was 3:30, and I was nowhere near that. So, I have looked.
Well, watch this space.
I do have a couple of friends who are 6-star finishers, which is amazing, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I mean, what an adventure though, just to kind of travel to all these places and run there.
I have started saving now. I'm thinking, okay, don't leave it until you know if you've got, even if you don't get into Boston, you can have a holiday. You have enough money for a nice holiday anyway. So
yeah, exactly. So I mean, what advice would you give to people then who are kind of thinking of taking on the marathon distance, like you have, maybe a little bit later in life? What would you advise?
I would say go for it. Absolutely go for it. You can do it. But I would say that respect the marathon distance and take it slowly and sensibly. Get a training plan, there's no reason why you can't go from, you know, lot lower mileage, and or if you haven't been a runner for long, up to marathon. Plenty of people enter the ballot who aren't runners, and they will train up and do it and get round, and you know, that's a great achievement. But if you want to do it well, you don't want to get injured, have a good base fitness first. I know how hard it is, and I've been a runner for a long time. So get a base fitness first. Get used to doing some races like 5K, 10Ks, get up to half distance. Try the half marathon, because yeah, I did the Colchester half this year kind of as part of my training, and I haven't raced many half marathons. And oh my goodness, that was hard. I'd forgotten how hard a half at race pace is. Just build it up and definitely get a training plan and just take it really slowly. Don't be afraid to rest. Don't be afraid to stop if you're fatigued or you've got any slight injuries. But it's absolutely possible. My dad started running at 55. He didn't do his first marathon until he was in his early 60s. He's done an ultra race. He did a 34 mile Nottingham to Grantham Canal run. Twice he did that. So, and he would have done that in his late 60s. So I would say if you're around my age, or even if you're, you know, turning 40, you can absolutely do it. Don't think that that's for other people, because it's not. If you really want to do it, you have to really want to do it, because, you know, you can't sugarcoat it that the training is really hard, but it's such an achievement. And the day itself, you won't believe you're doing it. You'll even afterwards, did I really do that? And it's such an amazing thing to do. I would say go for it.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I think you never forget your first marathon, do you, either? I think
no.
You always have such special memories, however it goes.
Yeah. The hardest thing about the marathon is getting to the start line. If you get to that start line, you've already done a huge achievement. You've already achieved something a lot of people will never achieve by getting through that training, by believing in yourself to sign up and say, yes, I can do this. I'm going to commit to this, and I'm going to get round that 26.2 miles for whatever reason, personal reasons, for charity reasons, for any reason at all. But getting to the start line, and then get to that start line, and then just enjoy what comes next.
Yeah, it's a wonderful experience. Oh, well, thank you so much, Rachel, for joining us. It's been lovely chatting to you.
Oh, no, it's been really nice. Thank you so much for having me. It's really nice. It's the first podcast I've ever done.
You've done brilliantly. Yeah, I've really enjoyed our chat tonight. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You are on the UK Run Chat Hour very soon for us as well, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yeah, yes. We'll be in a few weeks' time, I think.
Yes. So we'll look forward to chatting to you again then. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Michelle.